Right, g'day Novocastrians, welcome to your Jetstream preview for round four as the Jets are taking on Sydney FC this Saturday night at McDonald Jones Stadium. It's amazing we've actually got yet another Saturday night 7:50pm kickoff. It's fantastic. It's a shame that all the other games are away. So get along to McDonald Jones Stadium this Saturday while we've got the chance, because we won't see them again for a couple of weeks. But we're going to talk over everything to do with this game and how the Jets are going currently and what we can hopefully expect to come to pass on Saturday night. I've got two of our regular contributors with me to talk over this match. First up, it's g'day Wen.
Hello, how are you?
Good, mate. Welcome back to your first appearance for the season, I think.
Yeah, I know. It's been a long time coming, but the wife's away with work, so I don't feel bad about jumping on tonight.
Where have you been?
where have I been?
Yeah. Come on. We want an itinerary. We want to know what's going on.
No. She's away. I'm not. I've just been moving house and puppy-proofing the yard. I was just speaking to Luke about that off-air. I've spent the best part of a grand trying to puppy proof the yard, and they still get out.
Yeah,
so that's fun.
They'll always find a way.
Oh man!
And the other contributor we have joining us is big g'day to Lukey. How you going, Luke?
Yeah, good. Thanks, fans. How are you?
Not too bad, mate. Not your first appearance, obviously, for the season. You've been pretty regular.
Yeah, had a week off last week, but can get back into it now, so let's do it.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so first things first, what we'll do is go over the opening question. This one's submitted by one D. Keating. Which two Simpsons characters do you think would support the Mariners?
All right, so we spoke before. I've gone completely off the most obvious choice. My first one's going to be Frank Grimy Grimes.
Yep.
And that's because he tries to do, he tries his best, but he just fails. And that's, I feel like that's a perfect parallel to the Mariners in the last few years.
Perfect match.
And my other is actually a double up. It's Kangen Kodos, because I'm sure I've seen some Central Coast Mariners supporters exchanging long protein strings in the streets.
Oh, yeah, that's brought the tone down. And that's also going to be your podcast title, Exchanging Protein Strings. Let me just write that down. All right, glad we've got that out of the way nice and early. Lukey, what have you got for us?
I've gone the opposite way of Glenn. I have gone for the most obvious answers. First one is Cletus.
Yeah,
because
that'd be right.
he is what I see every time I go down to Central Coast Stadium. And I think the fact that his wife Brandine is his sister, is she? Or
yep. Sister,
I think cousin, that, I think that speaks for itself.
Yep.
The other one is Barney Gumble, because he's a drunk. And any contest, the opposition always wins by default.
No, fair enough. Fair call.
Default.
Yep, no, that's fair enough. Well, Dave submitted his answers for this question. He said Seymour Skinner and Kirk Van Houten. I don't really know why. He didn't give any reasons for that, but you can draw your own conclusions. Yeah. Myself, it's probably silly me going last, because every time I do that, someone steals my answer. So obviously, one of my answers was also Cletus, because it's blindingly obvious. The other one I thought was Otto, because it really sounds like something you'd only do if you're really, really stoned. So that's my answers. If anyone else has got anything that's just as humorous and witty, please submit them to us on Twitter or Facebook, either one of those, it's fine. All right, so as I said before, this Saturday night sees us taking the last place Newcastle Jets taking on first place Sydney FC, 7:50pm kickoff Saturday night. The match is on 10, it's the 10 Boss channel. They've changed all their bloody names.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, it's 10 Boss, not one anymore. But it is also on channel 505 on Foxtel. And also you can catch it on that ridiculous My Football Live app, which you can only watch on up to a maximum of 7-inch screen, which they're going to charge you $9.95 a month for. And you can also listen to it, obviously, on ABC Grandstand. Obviously, the Jets haven't had a really good start. How important is it for us to try and push for the win for this game to get a little bit of confidence back in this team?
Yeah, I think it is important. I mean, you can see... they spoke about in the review earlier this week, you can see the team coming together, and we're not playing badly. We just haven't got the points yet. And it's going to be another tough ask. As you said, we're bottom of the table, Sydney are top, and they're playing really well from the games I've seen them play. So, look, we need to go for 3 points every game, but I have a sneaking suspicion that we'd be quite happy, if we played well, we'd be quite happy to come away with a draw.
Lukey, what about you? Obviously, with the next couple of games being away, I'm just trying to pull up my Jets app to see where the next couple of games are. So I'm just going to pad until then. But no, what we'll do. Obviously, the next couple of games are away. So that's obviously even more of a struggle. I'm just trying to see. Here we go.
I've got my fix at your list.
next game's away to Wanderers. Game after that is away to Melbourne City. So that's.
Yep.
And for some reason, the fixtures is all populated by W League and Y League, so it's a bit difficult to chase them up. But anyway, so Lukey, the next couple of games obviously are away. We traditionally were pretty good last season at home. Obviously, grand final rematch last week, it didn't really go our way. Did you see enough signs that we might be able to come away with the win this week, or do you think it's how important is it for us to get the win really?
I think it's obviously very important. We don't want to give the teams near the top too much of a head start on us. I mean, then we've already given them. We're 6 points behind Sydney currently. Potential for that to go to 9 if we lose. And, you know, after 4 games and being 9 points behind, it's not really how you, I guess anyone would have expected the season to start off. For us, so I think in terms of getting the win, I think it's important. We need to make sure we don't give anyone else too much of a head start on us for the remainder of the season.
Glenn, obviously last game against Victory, we didn't end up getting the win. There was 11,300 odd at the stadium. A couple of events on over the weekend that probably impacted the crowd. This weekend looks like the weather's going to be nice again. Do you think that... What do you think... We were hoping, obviously, for a few more...
Oh, there we go.
Yes.
Shut up. That's the only way I can keep him from escaping the inside.
Fair enough. No, that's all good. Look, so obviously we were hoping for a bit more of a crowd on Saturday night, being the first home game and coming off a really good season. What do you put the crowd dead? Do you put the crowd down to maybe just a one-off? There was a bunch of things on this week, that weekend, and that might have affected things? Or are people maybe just... Is it not really the Newcastle thing to go out and to jump on the bandwagon early as it is? People really just, the more casual fans are more of a wait and see sort of crowd rather than I'm going to jump on this from the first game and go to the support this team thick and thin.
Yeah, I think it's probably a bit of both, but I dare say the start to the season hasn't helped. And that just goes back to your point on the Navicastrian quote unquote faithful. So yeah, I mean, like there were some other stuff or some other things on, I think Bitter and Twisted Festival.
Yep.
And then this, that, which yep. That also lined up with one of our home games last season, I believe, which yep. we attributed to a dwindling crowd. I mean, still, I mean, for that to be a bad crowd, well, not bad, but average crowd, I mean, you'd be happy with that. But being the first home game for the season just after, you know, the grand final and being the grand final rematch, as you said, I was hoping for more. Yep. I was a little bit disappointed when I turned up and saw, you know, 10 minutes before kickoff, I'm like, oh, this isn't where I thought we would be. I thought we might be closer to 15, but you'd have to ask the people that didn't turn up why they didn't turn up. It was quite hot in the day. Maybe that kept some people away. It did really cool off before kickoff.
Oh, that's
dropped probably 10 degrees.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, look, I can't explain it. You would hope that a few good results will bring some more through the gates. But we've got 10-3 or something like that in members. Last I heard,
yep.
So you'd hope that most of those rocked up to get the most bang for their buck for their membership. And like I say, good results will bring more of the fair weather fans through.
Yep, definitely. And the other thing to mention about the crowd, Luke, obviously against Victory, was the atmosphere was really good. But the crowd was really engaged. Bay One was going off all game. So that sort of thing is going to be something that's going to get people through the gate if they're watching it on TV and they see that even if it was a game that we lost, that people were still excited to be there and part of the action. That's going to convert more of the fair weather bandwagon types, if you like, across to more rusted on supporters, and that's only going to grow the average crowd even when we go through a form slump like we are at the moment. I mean, I don't really know if you can go in too far into form 3 games into the season, but those sorts of experiences people will keep coming back for. Luke.
Friends come to the Jets Sydney game in March last year, the one that we won 2-1.
Yep.
For one of them, it was their first ever game, and the atmosphere that day for them, they said it was incredible. I think having Bay One back in force this year, you know, they're singing. We've said all along, we've said for years that, you know, active support, having that the noise, the colours and everything, that's a big draw card to our league. You don't really see that in too many other leagues around Australia. And when the clubs have had issues with active support, where the active support groups have disbanded or not turned up, as we've seen in with the RBB and the and Melbourne Victory supporters at times throughout the last couple of seasons, it does, I guess, have a flow-on effect to the rest of the league. So having our Bay One supporters, you know, going ham week in, week out, regardless of the result, it can only be good for those bandwagon or fair weather supporters that are sort of looking for something to latch on to and become a full supporter of this side.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we'll get into a couple of stats for this game. Glenn, the overall 41 matches between these two teams, we definitely do not have the history on our side. There's only been 7 Jets wins in total, 25 Sydney wins and 9 draws. In Newcastle, there's been 20 matches, 4 wins to us, 12 wins to Sydney, 4 draws. 40 goals in the fixture, 66 to Sydney. In Newcastle, that's 19 to 31. First goals in the fixture, it's 2-1, Jets 12, Sydney FC 26. Recent form, obviously, 1 point from the last 9 for us and 7 points for the last 9 from Sydney FC. But the last time we faced Sydney FC was that game that Lukey mentioned, 2-1 win. Petrado scoring a penalty in the boot in the 56th minute against Bobo scoring in the 52nd minute. That was at MJ Stadium in round 22 last season. So, look, last season was, Glenn, was a season of overturning historical issues, if you want to phrase it that way. Hopefully we can get that going this weekend as well, because we, obviously in the last game last season was one of those seasons. Hopefully we can kickstart our season by a really good perform, even if it's just a good performance this season in this game.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And it's, yeah, as you said, last year round 22, I think you said, that was RAF round. Now this round, this year is a remembrance round. So this match seems to crop up at important times through the season, and hopefully the boys can lift and get the job done. Like I said, anything but a loss, I'd be okay with. I think I'd be really disappointed with a loss. But if we can draw and hopefully get the 3 points, that's what I'm hoping for, and I'm sure the boys are too.
A couple of really depressing talking points, Luke, that Dave put up on the Newcastle Football.net forums. The Jets have lost and been kept scoreless in 4 of their last 5 home matches. Newcastle have conceded the first goal in 7 out of the last 10 matches. The Jets' start to this campaign is equal worst in terms of points, equal with Season 2 and Season 10. Goal difference in Season 6-7 was -5. Season 14-15 was -4. This season is -2. Hopefully we don't get Chris Beith, because under him we've had 1 victory in the last 10 matches he's officiated, and we're scoring at a rate 3 times less than last season. So do you feel like slashing your wrists after reading that? Thanks, Dave.
I guess this season's been I guess, more of a familiar sight compared to what we had last year. This is more of the Newcastle I think everyone's sort of used to over the last 10 years. But as we said last year, records are there to be broken. And regardless of how bad our start is this year, all it takes is one result and we're, you know, halfway up the table almost. So it doesn't make for good reading, but how far can you read into statistics? It's just one football always shows how little statistics mean when it comes to the games. And hopefully this week we pull one back on Sydney, and if we do end up with Beith, hopefully get win number two.
Yeah,
under him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, look, there's not that many points between all the teams. I mean, if we win on the weekend, we go, well, depending on results in the other game, we can go to sixth. So, I mean, there's really nothing in it. So 3 points, especially this early stage of the season, is everything. But it's similar to, I mean, the Premier League, before obviously the whole Premier League thing started, and there was just every game mattered. You couldn't really read too much into the first like 9-10 games of a season. I mean, obviously the A-League is only 27 rounds, so you'd probably maybe cut that down to maybe 5 or 6. So would that be your message to everybody? Don't sort of read too far into it at the moment. There's going to be some weird, like, no one was expecting Wellington to be strong in the first game. The second game against Adelaide was a tight affair. We got a draw in that, and the game against Victory, we looked good in patches and we were unlucky not to win. So it's only going to take little tweaks and little things to go our way. Like last season, we got a lot of luck in some of those games where we got away with victories that maybe we didn't necessarily play the best in, but the luck fell our way. Obviously, you know, that old football adage that luck balances itself out, maybe that's coming back to bite us this season.
Yeah, I'd agree with that again. It's more about the performance for me, and okay, we expected a win in Wellington. We knew Adelaide was going to be hard, but I mean, we always struggle in Wellington, no matter how strong or weak either team is. So really, on the balance of play, it's not been that shocking. We've had a bit of a rough trot. I mean, we've got, you know, Adelaide, very strong side, obviously Melbourne Victory, we lost them the last time we faced them prior to last week. Sydney now top of the table at the minute. So we'll start facing some weaker teams soon. That's not to say that we can't beat anybody on our day, because we can. But they're coming thick and fast, these fixtures, and we've got, I think, international break after this round, so might give us a chance, regardless of the result, to just recoup and sort of come together and get ready for another tilt in the coming weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Luke, looking at the team and the last couple of performances, have you put any sort of issues down to anything specific? Is it the players that we're currently playing? Obviously, we've had Joey and Roy both unavailable. You'd think we'd be a lot stronger, but the players replacing them and the shuffling around that we've had to do, playing Lockie Jackson as a fullback and playing Hoffy up front, where he's not traditionally been strong. He's usually been more deployed more of an outside striker rather than playing at the front. Is it more down to the players that the players that we've been playing, or is it maybe more a style issue? For me, I just haven't seen us moving the ball quickly and concisely. We've just been taking too many touches, slowing the play down, and that wasn't our best feature last season. Our best feature was getting the ball on the deck, moving it around, and punching through teams with speed and accurate passing. We just haven't really seen much of that this season.
So I think back end of last year, we found when we had high possession stats, that's when we were in our slump towards the end of the season. For whatever reason, last year, when we had less possession, we got our better results. So, you know, the quick passing through the lines, breaking through, counter-attacking, that was more our style. From what I've seen this year, I've only really seen the Adelaide game, and it seemed like we were more happy to hold possession, and that doesn't work for us with our current team. I was very critical of Lockie Jackson after that Adelaide game, from what I've heard on all accounts, bar one. He was probably our player of the match behind maybe Ronnie against Victory. Yeah. So I'm glad that he's proved me wrong in that. And I think Ernie has... one difference Ernie has in managers gone by is that as soon as something hasn't gone his way, he hasn't forced changes. He's stuck with the same starting 11 so far this season. Maybe that's because of people away, you know, Angus Thurgate's on international duty, Kanarovsky's injured, Austin's coming back from injury. So, you know, maybe he hasn't had the personnel at hand to, I guess, really force any changes. But I think with Kanarovsky coming back in particular, I heard that he's probably in line to probably start this week against Sydney. His performance against Sydney last season, in particular the 2-2 draw at Allianz and the 2-1 win in Newcastle, were outstanding. So if he has a game like that again, you know, if he's on the field from the get-go, I think you know, that's one problem solved for us. The other one, obviously, is, as you said, with you know, having Joey Roy out and having Hoff as a designated striker, is we probably just don't have that killer blow currently, which, you know, you'd hope that by the time we get those two players back, we're not in desperate need of them, that we absolutely need to score goals and we're not playing catch up. But I'd say once they do come back, you'll see the game against Victory, we won't be dropping those sort of points where we can't finish however many chances we're creating. And I saw a stat on Twitter yesterday saying that against Victory, Ronnie created 9 goal-scoring opportunities, which was the most in the league in 5 years since Thomas Broich.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've definitely got the quality there. It's just that final killer blow that we're waiting for.
Yeah, Glenn, do you see that the fact that Ernie, despite the poor start, hasn't rotated his team yet as more a victim of, like Luke said, maybe not having the players available to swap around? Or do you see that as a strength? He's stuck with that team to try and give them a bit more confidence. Which way do you see it?
Yeah, I think it's probably a bit of both again. It's a vote of confidence on his behalf, and to be honest, it's a vote of confidence in his ability to make decisions as well. I think you know, if he's very quick to change his mind, which we've seen last season and every season that he's coached in this league, he doesn't chop and change a lot. So he sticks to his guns. So he makes decisions and he sticks to them, unless you know a couple of weeks down the line he decides, okay, maybe I was wrong. But I think it shows conviction on his behalf, and also confidence in the players under him to stick with it. I'm sure he's making little tweaks in the background, and that's probably evidenced most prominently by the effect of Jackson at fullback from round one to round three. So I think he's always tweaking, he's always working, but overall I feel like he trusts both his decision-making, his coaches, and the players under him to see a plan through until there's other options available.
Right, Luke, we've circled around it, so we might as well jump into it. What do you see Ernie making some changes for the game this weekend, or do you think that the main changes we're going to see is on the bench?
I think we'll probably start to see changes in the starting lineup this week. I think Kanarovsky will start. I think, given, as I said, his performances against Sydney last year, when he came on Saturday, he added something to the game that we didn't have previously. I think that, so I think Kanarovsky will start. The other one that I sort of heard is pushing a starting spot is Austin.
Yeah.
Whether that means that Hoffman drops out or Jair drops out, I'm not 100% sure, but I think those are probably the two changes that I could potentially see happen for this weekend.
What about you, Glenn? Who are you seeing any changes for this?
Yeah, the only thing I can see is is Kantorovsky, but I don't know. I mean, obviously he's not going to take Ugarkovic out, so it's going to be Rodenton. But in saying that, I think Rodenton's played really well. So it'd be quite harsh to take either of, or whoever he's going to take out for Kantorovsky. I think it'd be quite harsh, but you do have to have a bit of mongrel in the midfield, which we've been lacking a little bit. I think the guys on Monday night recording the review pod mentioned that Ugarkovic has got two yellows in the first three games, probably because he's been trying to fill that enforcer role, which Kantorovsky is a natural at. So, yeah, I mean, I think it can't hurt to go back to the two number sixes that we played for the majority of last season, but if that does happen, I do feel a bit for Rod Denton because I think he's done a really good job so far.
Luke, Rod Denton's an interesting... Well, there's a couple of players that we're going to talk about, so Rod Denton seems to be the first one to segue into. I haven't had any problem with his job in defensive midfield. The only sort of criticism I'd level at him is that the partnership between him and Ugarkovic, obviously it's fairly embryonic. They haven't really played together all that often, but the speed of passing between the two and the speed of thought from Rodenton to get the ball forward has been, I think, the weakness in his game. He's been really strong in breaking up the play and screening and all that sort of stuff that he's supposed to be doing. But when he gets the ball back and turning defense into attack, I'm feeling that he's taking one or two too many touches, or he's slowing the ball. Slowing the play rather than pushing, get the ball, take a touch straight away, get the ball forward. That's the sort of thing that Ugarkovic and Kantorovsky were doing superbly last season. And it's just, I think, the one area of his game, speaking of Rodenton, that maybe is not quite where it needs to be yet.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case, I think. And that sort of thing will, that sort of confidence of being able to play that pass forward or take a touch less, that will come as he, I guess, you hate to say, get suited to the playing style, given that we've got the longest preseason in the world. But
yeah.
I think it may not be a case of that either him or Ugarkovic have done anything wrong. It's just a case of, you know, Kantorovsky had his best season ever last year. And it may just be a case of, you know, if Ernie thinks that Kantorovsky is worthy of being in his starting 11, you know, someone's got to miss out. And if he thinks that Kantorovsky's the person to go in there, then, you know, that's just the business. That's just the business. So if that's Rodenton that has to come out for him, then so be it. But I don't think that if it is Rodenton, then, you know, he's young enough to have that hunger of, you know, he'll prove himself for training to try and force his way back into the squad. And the squad depth's a problem. We've been on the wrong side of it for many years. So having, you know, three players pushing for two positions with that sort of quality is a good headache for Ernie to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Glenn, the other player that's you mentioned him before that did polarise some opinion over the first couple of games is Lockie Jackson. You did say that he did have a poor first couple of games. I agree with you. I thought that he had a pretty good game against Victory, which I think maybe people's opinions got coloured by his first two games. They weren't really looking at it objectively. It was, you know, basically Tarek Elrich Volume 4. He was the whipping boy for, it seems, Jets supporters online somewhere always have to have a player to vent at, and it just seems that at the moment it's Lockie Jackson. But it has sort of stirred up a bit of a counterculture against that. People seem to be sticking up for him, so hopefully that's not the prevalent thought amongst the supporters. But Lockie, I think Lockie does a really good job defensively. I just don't think that he gives the speed from fullback that playing Hoffie there last season gave us. And that might be where Ernie looks to maybe make a tweak. If Austin's pushing for a start, bring him on. Drop Jackson off, bring Canner on for Rodenton and put Hoffie back in a fullback position and have Georgievski and Hoffman being the ones that are pushing on the wings rather than all the focus being on Georgievski. He's the one that usually pushes forward the most and has been playing poorly because he's being doubled up on. The opposing teams have pretty much cited him as the main threat from a wide position. So they've been, you know, making sure that he's not got any passing avenues whenever he gets possession. So having Hoffey on the other wing from the fullback position would probably help us with our speed of movement. You see that maybe as being an avenue that any could take on Saturday.
Yeah, and actually, I hadn't thought of it, but that actually sounds quite good and quite interesting. I mean, we all know how Hoff overlaps and provides that attacking threat, as well as has the pace and the defensive ability to get back quickly when need be. Mm. So yeah, that's actually not a bad shout. I don't mind that at all. I kind of hope that happens now that you've said that.
Good. Well, okay, it's a nice one. And it's obviously nothing against Lockie. It's just the overall movement and speed of passing that having Hoffman in that position brings. Like, there's nothing wrong with Lockie's defensive duties. I don't think he's been at fault for too much over the last couple of games, but it we're just playing better players in the positions that we have available, and obviously having a few more people available gives us that option. Luke, Jair has slowly sort of moved into getting into match fitness over the last couple of games. I thought his game against Victory was, again, a steady improvement. Do you think he's done enough to retain his spot? I personally think so. And I think having maybe having him central and having someone, a speed merchant like Mitch Austin running one way and having Demi doing his ducking and weaving on the other might give him a little bit more space than he otherwise would have.
I think so. And I think one of the probably things that has sort of, I guess, gone against him is his defensive work on the wing. I thought he's probably better suited to the striker role. Mm. I think probably what scared me on during that Adelaide game was having Jair and Lockie Jackson on the same wing. I just thought that it just seemed an odd pairing to have on the same wing there. But I think if we're doing, as you said, the switch, having, you know, Hoffey push back and bringing that space up front for, you know, Austin to come into, I think going central is probably going to suit Jair. The only thing that I'm a bit unsure of is, you know, Sydney's two big centre backs, whether, you know, how much issue they're going to cause to him with their size and everything. So, but you know, if he's moving into a central role, I think he'll probably excel in that more so than on the wing.
I don't think there's any other changes that we'd probably look at making, Glenn. So what do you hope to see on Saturday, and what do you think will actually happen? Do you think you'd like to see a couple more changes, but you think it's only going to be one or two?
Yeah, look, before tonight, I would have thought the only change, based on the post-match press conference from Ernie intimating that Kantorovsky would start, that was the only change that I could really see happening. But like I said, I don't mind your shout. If Austin was starting, then pulling Hoffey back, and you could always bring Jackson on if that was the case, and then, yeah, you know, Jackson on for Austin, push Hoffman back up into a more attacking role and have Jackson behind him. I don't know if I'd put them on the same side because they're both quite tall. I'd probably have one on each side because they sort of cancel each other. They do the same job on the one side of the field, but I'm sure there's a way to have them both in the team, as we've seen the first three rounds.
But you're thinking that Ernie might only make the one change, bring
Cannon? I think it might only be one, but I wouldn't be disappointed if the change that you've sort of suggested there with Austin starting and Jackson making way for Hoffman to retain or to return to his fullback spot. I wouldn't be disappointed to see that.
Yep, yep, definitely. What about you, Luke? Are you similar mind?
Yeah, I think I'm of a similar mind as well. I hadn't really thought of, you know, the whole move Hoffey back and have that space up front for Austin or Jair to move around up there. But I, as Glenn said, if that happens, I'd be happy if that happened. But, you know, I also sort of expect that it'll just be maybe just a Kantorovsky switch to happen. Either way, I don't think there's too much we can really be surprised or, I guess, disappointed in.
Yep.
So, yeah, I guess we'll just wait and see what happens.
Yeah, definitely. And also it does help us, Glenn, with Gus Thurgate coming back from the Young Socceroos duty, that we're going to have another attacking option on the bench. So you'd hopefully think that maybe the bench with a... Well, if we have a substitutes bench of Rydenton, Jackson, Thurgate and Kane Shepherd, that's a pretty strong bench and would probably help us out in most eventualities.
Yeah, and it's quite attacking, really, too, when you think about it. You've got both Thurgate and what's the other young fella's name? Kane Shepherd. Sorry, Shepherd, that's him. Yep, Shepherd. Thank you. Yeah, they're both. Well, I'd say they play the same role, really. So I don't know. It's good to chase the game, but you probably want to put your best lineup out there. And I think we've all sort of put it forward, and that's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah, we don't think there's going to be any other changes. The other interesting player is obviously Lucas Vuitta. Earlier on in the, obviously the before the season kicked off, when we had the chat with Ernie, he hinted that Vuitta was training really strongly and might be pushing to make some sort of push into the starting 11. We haven't really seen that. He's had, I think, one substitute appearance, and I think the other two games he hasn't even been on the bench. So I don't know if there's anything else going on with him or he's just still working his way back in Ernie's favour. But that's another player that we would hope come good sooner rather than later, so we've got another option in a fullback role, so that, you know, we're not constantly relying on Danny Georgeski being the main outlet in a fullback position and maybe having to switch around Hoffy to go back to give us a bit more speed.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if it is a case, I think I said this on the either the preview or review of the Adelaide game, the sooner that, if it is a case of, you know, he's still working his way back into fitness, I believe he had surgery possibly in the off season.
Yep.
If that is the case, that he is just still working his way back in, obviously the sooner he gets there, the better. Just to have that sort of quality and depth in that fullback position where we're, as you said, not relying on Georgeski, not relying on Hoffman having to come back and fill a role. You know, Vuitta and Jackson are two young players who should be, looking to start as much as possible to improve and forge a career out of it. So, the sooner, if it is a case of that he's still pushing and still getting his way back to fitness, the sooner the better. When he's on, and we could definitely use some of that.
Yep, definitely. We'll talk about, just finish off by talking about two of our blokes in the midfield that have performed fairly well, one better than the other. I think the other one, Glenn, has, I think, struggled mainly because opposition teams have worked out to, overload players on him. Again, similar thing, I think, to what's happening with Georgeski. They've obviously identified him as one of the major threats, so they've been making sure that he's being rushed whenever he gets possession, and it's just closing out a lot of his options. So he sort of struggled in the first couple of games, I think. He's certainly taken, I think he's been almost the clear standout in passes in the opening couple of games. So we're still getting plenty of the ball and moving it around and stuff, but we just haven't seen that incisive play from him that we saw last season. Again, I think that's just an adjustment he's going to have to make personally, with receiving a lot more attention this season than he got last season. But he's still a player that on his day can turn a match on a dime, and he's the one that one of the players in midfield that we're going to rely on to make sure that we can get ahead in this game and have a good performance.
Yeah, for sure. I think it comes down to probably the combination of him and Vargas. I mean, obviously with Vargas's injury last season, they didn't play a hell of a lot together. So I feel like that partnership between those two, especially with the movement of Dimi, how he likes to sort of just float inside and almost has a free role, I feel like the more those guys play together, the better they're both going to be, because I feel like Vargas will be able to sort of make some runs that will take some attention off Petratos and be able to give him some more room to do some of his stuff with the ball, and vice versa. I think the more attention that Dimi draws from the defence, which he's getting now, it allows a space for Vargas, who we've seen, as you guys mentioned, is the most clear goal-scoring chances created in 5 years since Thomas Brooch. So, you know, I think one of those two is always going to have a better game than the other, simply because, you know, one will take the attention away from the other as far as the opposition is concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was, well, you did pretty well there, Glenn, because I was actually going to get Lukey to talk about Vargas, but that's fine, you've covered him off. So what we'll do is we'll quickly cover off Sydney before we get to our prediction. So just looking on the Cove website, they're not really seeing any changes. So the way they lined up the last game is how they think it's going to line up this game. Redmayne in goals, Zulo, van der Linden, Wilkinson, Grant with that ridiculous fucking haircut.
O'Neill, that's amazing.
I didn't know Trent from Punchy got an A-League contract. It's ridiculous. O'Neill and Brilliante in the middle of the park, and Ninkovic, Brosk, Retre and Lafondra. Luke, that's a pretty potent lineup. The only sort of weakness I really see in Sydney FC, I think, is the coach. But obviously, he's been an assistant for a fair while. He's slowly making his mark on this team, but I haven't really watched enough of their games to really have an assessment on what Carrick is like as a tactician and how quickly he gets onto tactical tweaks and changes and substitutions during their games to affect the outcome. So, do you see that as being maybe a way we... Ernie's obviously a very experienced campaigner, and Corrick is in, you know, his fourth game as a head coach. Do you see that as maybe one of the ways we might be able to affect this game?
Potentially. I guess part of the problem is, you know, he's inherited one of the best sides in A-League history. You know, he's brought in Lafondra, he's brought in van der Linden... he's got Ninkovic back. Like, it's a hell of a squad, and regardless of his coaching ability, you know, it's not going to be hard to beat. They beat City away 3-0. By all accounts, City were terrible, but Sydney still put three past them. So it's on paper, it's a hell of a squad. So I guess, you know, he could almost just tell him to go and kick a ball and win a game against some team. So, I guess once they start coming up against good managers, we'll know for sure exactly what he's like when he has to, fix a problem. They haven't really been tested too much yet. They got a draw in the first game against Adelaide, but aside from that, you know, they played, quote-unquote, the worst squad in the league in the Wanderers the following week, and then played a terrible Melbourne City side. So I guess he's yet to really be tested as a manager so far.
Glenn, obviously Sydney did lose that FFA Cup final to Adelaide, so they can be got at. Looking at just a couple of talking points from the Sydney side of things. Sydney have scored against Newcastle in each of the last 11 fixtures, going back to March 2015. Adam Lafondra has 7 goals in 6 competitive games, equaling Brett Emerton, Carol Kissel and Terry McFlynn. And this is Alex Wilkinson's 75th consecutive game, 21st player to reach this milestone. So, don't know if those are true or not. That's just, I'm pulling that off the Cove website. So who knows whether they're true, but obviously it's a strong team. Where do you see their weaknesses are? And did you watch that FFA Cup game? Did you see anything from that game that we could use? Obviously I'm sure Ernie's done the same thing. But did you see any sort of weaknesses in their last couple of games that we could exploit?
Not really on the park. I agree with you. I think the weakness is at the top there in the head coach. I mean, I don't know what goes on behind the scenes, but I hope he's more sort of commanding in the sheds than he is on camera. He's like a wet fish on camera, isn't he? Yeah. I mean, it would be difficult. Like, I'm sure if you stuck a camera in my face, I'd clam up a bit too. But he's had a few years to try and get used to it, and then I don't know. Maybe that's just his personality. But yeah, we can't judge him solely on that. As long as his team's going out there and winning games, then he can do what the hell he likes in front of camera. But we'll see what happens, as you say, when he comes up against some sort of a tactical decision. Like that FFA Cup final was fantastic to watch for a neutral. It was just so open and attacking and flowing. And I'm hoping that they play the same way, because that will play directly into our hands. As you mentioned, we play best on the counter, and if they have a go at us, then we're more than glad they have a go back at them.
Yeah, definitely. All right, prediction time. Lukey, what do you think is going to happen?
I reckon it'll be a 1-1 draw. I think Sydney FC will probably get a penalty, which Lafondra will score.
That's a dig.
But I think Vargas will score as well.
You think Vargas will score? All right. What was the score? 1-1?
1-1.
1-1. All right. Glenn?
Yeah, I was going to say 1-1 as well, but I'll just to be different, I'll say it's still a draw, but it'll be 2-2, and it'll be a really exciting game. I think we'll score the first goal for once.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, it would be good.
Dreams.
Yeah. So yeah, I think a 2-2 and a really entertaining game for both sets of fans.
All right. Well, I'm going to be bullish, especially if Ernie listens to this pod and does what we're hoping and makes a few changes. Canner on, Hoffy to full back and Austin up front with Jair and Dimi and Vargas all creating havoc in their box. So I'm hoping, crossing my fingers, for a 2-1 win to get the momentum and the confidence back in the team and get the town back behind the club, because it'd be nice for the next home game after that in a few weeks to get a good, really good turnout. So 2-1 win is my pick. So if you have any predictions of your own, make sure you get on social media and let us know. W League, we don't need to talk about this week because they're off until the 17th. The next fixture is us versus Canberra next Saturday, 7:30 p.m. at number 2. So we'll cover that off in the preview next week. What we will talk about, though, is the other games in round 4, which I'll bring up in just a second. Come on, computer. This is all being done live, people. Don't think that this is organised. Good God, what are we doing? it's all gone.
So, do you know why the W League is? Are they got another bye? They can't.
An entire round. Week.
Oh yeah, because the Matildas are playing Chile, and yeah, there you go. Matildas, that's why. Yeah. Yep.
I forgot about that.
Good. All right. There we go. We finally got it back. All right. Friday, the 9th of November, 7:50 p.m. kickoff at Amy Park. Melbourne City take on Wellington Phoenix. Lukey, what do you think is going to happen there?
I reckon. Wellington were terrible against the Wanderers on the weekend. They were dreadful. It was painful to watch. I reckon Melbourne City's going to bounce back and probably put 2 or 3 past them.
Glenn?
Yeah, I'd agree. I think 2-0 City.
Yep. I think Wellington will score, but sorry, Phoenix fans that are listening, I think you're going to possibly lose 3-1. It's going to be an interesting time down there in Melbourne. Saturday, 5:35 p.m. at Glenwillow Sporting Field. I don't know why they're playing there, but anyway, they're finally getting out of that. I don't know whether that's a different name for Spotless Stadium, but I'm guessing not. It's Western Sydney Wanderers taking on Brisbane Roar. Glenn, what do you think is going to happen in this game? This could be interesting.
Yeah, I think Roar will win this if they play to their potential, and pretty comfortably. Maybe a 2-1. I think Wanderers might jag a goal.
I think this is actually, they're playing this in Mudgee or Bathurst.
Yeah, this is the Mudgee game.
The Mudgee game. Okay, so they're playing. Okay, fair enough. All right, Luke, what do you reckon is going to be the score in this one?
I'm going to say 2-2. I think it's going to be Taggart versus Bom Johan. If I butchered his name, I don't care. but I think they'll probably score 2 each.
I think you pronounced take it right. Personally, I think Brisbane could win this. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win, 1-0 away win, because they're obviously playing away. Playing a regional game doesn't give any advantage to Western Sydney at all. And I don't really think many of their fans are going to travel. All right, Sunday, 5 p.m. Cooper Stadium, Adelaide United versus Perth Glory. This looks like the game of the weekend. What do you think's going to happen, Luke?
Oh, I reckon that deserves a night game, that one. I think that's, playing that in 4:30 p.m. local time. If it's going to be a hot day in Adelaide, I feel like they deserve a primetime spot for that game almost, because given how both teams are currently running, it's going to be a hell of a game. Both teams are really improved this year. Their squads are both amazing on paper. So I reckon we'll probably have another probably exciting game on our hands. Mm. I'll say I reckon Adelaide will probably edge out 2-1 winners.
Glenn?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be a really good game, but I'll go the opposite scoreline. I think Perth will get it 2-1. Do they have a name for this derby? The Nullarbor?
No, I hope not. I really hope not.
Yeah.
I'm going to go right down the middle. I think it's going to be an exciting game, but I think it's going to end up in a draw, so I'm going to say 2-2. The final game is Melbourne Victory hosting the Mariners down at Amy Park, 7 p.m. on Sunday. We're going to go for a Bodie special with this, Glenn?
Oh, I am. 4-0 victory.
4-0 victory. What about you, Luke?
Yes, I agree. 4-0 victory. If Toivonen comes back, I reckon he'll score all four.
Yep. I don't know if he's going to be back this soon, but we'll obviously find that out. We'll find that out on Sunday. I think it's also going to be a win to Melbourne Victory. Let's go a three-peat, 4-0 from me as well. All right, brilliant. Thanks very much, guys. That's the preview for this week. If you want to get in touch, podcast at newcastlefootball.net is the email address, at Jetstream Newey on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. You can subscribe. We've got more subscription availability now. You can get us on Spotify. You can get us on Google Podcast, obviously your Apple and Android. Tune in as well as Google Podcasts. So all you have to do is just search Jetstream Podcasts on Jetstream Podcast on those platforms, and we are available to listen through those apps and services. So TuneIn, Spotify, all those good things, we are available through them. So definitely get in and subscribe if you can. You can also go to newcastlefootball.net/podcast for all those links. All the links are listed on that page. You can look at it on your mobile device or on your computer, and you can subscribe through there. Beautiful. Thank you very much, guys, for listening. Thanks very much to Glenn for jumping on for tonight.
No problem. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be back for the new season.
And good to have you back. And thanks as well, Lukey.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It was good fun.
Yeah, excellent. Definitely. So look out for us for the review of this game that will come out on Tuesday morning. But in the meantime, vamos el Jerkos.
Okay. Vamos el Jerkos.
Oh, well, I'll go the original. Go the Jets.
All right. Where's the Simpson sign off?
Well, if he can teach a class, he can teach a class. I mean, I can teach a class.
That's how you do it. Oh, I'm down, Benjamin.